the very end of the gospel reading today, our Lord tells us something that is so critically important for us to understand. He said, "By your patience, you will win your souls." This is very similar to what the prophet Isaiah tells us, that in waiting and in calm, you will be saved. And so it's that same process. It's the trust in God in the midst of all of the chaos and in all of the trouble that may be happening in our lives. And we have to see exactly what God is doing, because he said regarding the just that he tests them like gold in the furnace. He's going to put them into difficult situations. He's going to try them in situations that are very painful. He's going to test our virtue. We all know that. It happens pretty much every day. And pretty much every day we continue to demonstrate that we still don't have the virtue, which means he's going to stick us right back into the furnace and say, "Let's try it again. We need a little more purification." And if you've ever listened to a goldsmith talk about what happens when they stick the gold in the furnace, all the imperfections, as they come out, they hiss and they spew and they spit and they do all kinds of stuff. It's like, yep, just like us. And so all of our imperfections come to the surface. And if we weren't put into the fire, none of that would happen. And of course, we're going to look at that and say, "See, if he would just leave me alone, I wouldn't have these problems. Think how holy I would be." You wouldn't be holy at all. You just wouldn't be acting out in your vice. The vices are all there, it's just that they're not noticed. But the only way of growing in holiness is to actually grow in virtue and grow in union with the Lord. And so if it's by patience that we're going to save our souls, it is by allowing the Lord to work in us as he chooses. And of course, that's the important part too, because if we, in our generosity, will tell God, "Okay, I know that I'm going to have to suffer, do it this way." Right. So what did we just tell him? In the area that I'm actually really pretty strong, I'm happy to let you do that. So he's going to look at it and go, "No, it's this area that needs to be strengthened, not that one. That one's already pretty strong. You're really pathetic in this area, so we need to strengthen that." And then, of course, we don't handle that too patiently. And then we have to come right back to that point. By your patience. We are not a patient people. We live in this immediate gratification society. And so we think everything should be right now. It should be exactly the way I want it. It should be set before me, and I should have it now. It's not the way God works. It's not that he couldn't. He could infuse the virtue in you. But if he did that, there actually would be no growth in holiness on your part. You haven't actually developed anything. You haven't cooperated with God. He just had to take things away. And while he does that every once in a while for people in certain areas, the reason is because they are so weak that there is no possible way, even with God's grace, that they're going to overcome it. So he just has to do it by his grace, without their free will, without their cooperation. He just simply takes it away. When that happens, however, I point out to the people that more than likely what's going to happen is not absolute, but most of the time when that happens, he will then allow the other ancillary virtues to develop, and then he's going to let you be tempted in this area again, because you really haven't developed any virtue. It's just that the vice was taken away because you were too weak to overcome it on your own. And so chances are it's still going to have to be purified. In the meantime, for all of us, I think it goes back to that point of the patience, at least for most of us anyway, put it that way. And so, as I keep pointing out to you, we have lots of opportunities, the freeway being a fantastic one. If you want to grow in virtue, just go and drive around for a while. It's getting so bad. Now, you can complain, and you can scream at people, and you can honk your horn, and you can do whatever. Or you can try to be patient, and you can pray for them, and you can try to practice charity. And then we find out how naturally that doesn't come to us, but sadly, how naturally all the other stuff does. And there are lots of other opportunities that he's going to provide for you. If you're parents and you've got young kids, especially if you've got teenagers, there are going to be lots of opportunities for patience. Just having to live with your spouse is going to give you a ton of opportunities to grow in patience. There are lots of ways that God is going to work with us. And so we have to be able to do is to see what he's trying to do and to work at cooperating with him. Because what we tend to do is get angry with him. He's allowing this to happen again. It's like, right, because we didn't learn the lesson last time, he's going to allow it to happen again. And then if you're anything like me, I try my best to see it, I try my best to cooperate with it, I actually start getting pretty good at it, and then everything's fine for a while. And then he sticks me about a month later behind somebody else who's going 20 miles an hour under the speed limit. And then I find out that all that work that I had done for the previous months is all out the window, and I'm back to square one and have to be patient all over again. Learn it again. Remember what I had to do. It's like, that's right. You need to pray and you need to be calm. And we are so weak and so pathetic. And that's why this has to happen again and again and again and again, because it's the only way for us to grow. And that's why the Lord says, in patience, you will win your souls. So we have to be about that patience. Let God do what he's going to do and let him do it in his time. And remember that everything that God does is for our good. That's what the only thing he's trying to do is to help us. So all these things that, you know, even as we heard in the gospel, there'll be wars and insurrections and earthquakes and famines and floods and all the other stuff. All that's going to be part of our growth. Are we going to trust him? Are we going to have patience in the midst of it? You know, one of the things that I keep asking, as do many other people, it's like, when's the illumination of conscience going to happen? When's Our Lady going to intervene? When is God going to do something? I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did, but I don't. So I have to be patient. I have to wait. I have to do it in God's time. In the meantime, it's a matter of remaining faithful, remaining in prayer, remaining in virtue, remaining in the performance, the duties of your state in life. Because it's easy when you think that there's a deadline. God's going to be intervening here this afternoon, so I better do this and this and this. When you look at it and go, well, I don't know when he's going to do this, then we start getting sloppy. Which again is exactly what he's trying to let us see. We don't have the virtue, so we have to work at it. So keep doing your best, maintain your prayer, maintain the duties of your state in life. Look at the virtues that God is working on in your life. You'll see it through the situations of your life. And try to cooperate with him. And then be grateful. I mean, talk about patience. Be grateful that he hasn't intervened yet, because you wouldn't have been ready. All of us can look at that and say, you know, if he would have intervened last week when I was getting so upset that he didn't, which just proved how little patience I've got anyway, I would not have been prepared. So thankfully, he's giving me an opportunity to continue to grow so that when he does finally intervene, maybe I'll actually be ready. So trust him. He knows what he's doing. He's got you in his hand and in his heart. Just don't try to wiggle out. Be at peace. Be be patient, because in patience, in calm, and in waiting will be our salvation.